was Daryl Jones. I think I failed to mention Daryl's name. Daryl, he's right down here. Let's thank Daryl for coming out and doing that for us today. That's Dean Jones's brother, by the way. Okay. Now, somebody told me that look, you got an imperfect preacher. If I didn't mention deacons, if you've ever served as a deacon here, please stand up. Please stand up if you've ever served as a deacon. Yes, yes, yes. I had it written down, but I might not have said it. I don't know if I said it or not, but if I didn't say it, these deacons do a tremendous job. And also, I understand, I might have forgotten to mention, rebuild Pitt County. The effort to go out around Easter time and help out some local folks who their homes are in disrepair. If you've helped out with rebuild Pitt County, please stand up for me real quick, okay? Yes, 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 yes. There's just so much stuff that, you know, you guys do as a body of Christ. And, you know, this was sort of what we had hoped to see early on in the life of the church when we started the church. And, you know, a lot of people, some of the problems people have in church is that we begin to think the church belongs to us. And suddenly, you know, everything has to be my way. And we're not thinking about it being Jesus' way. We're thinking about it being my way. So when we started Christ Church, we started with this. Now, I'm going to tell you honestly, I wasn't great in English in school. Any English teachers in here? You know, you'd probably read my stuff and be marking it all up and everything. I loved history. History was my thing. And P.E. P.E. was great. I loved P.E. Yeah. Phys Ed. Oh, yeah. But English, not so much. But I'm not such a dummy that I didn't understand this, that an apostrophe S means ownership. Do y'all get that? Y'all understand that concept? If it has Tim with an apostrophe S, it belongs to me. But you might have noticed that this sign out there doesn't say Tim's Church. It says Christ Church. Because this church belongs to Jesus. Because without Jesus, it doesn't mean anything. Y'all get that, right? So today, I'm going to breeze through this. You better believe me. I'm breezing through because I'm smelling that food out there. But to God be the glory. Great things He has done. Amen? Amen. To God be the glory. Not to us, to God. And as we look back over those 20 years, that's why we went through all of that stuff earlier. You might not have been here over all those 20 years, but maybe just by you seeing what we were talking about, that you see God's been involved in this all these years. I'm reminded of the scripture in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the what? Branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. That verse tells us two quick things. One is without Jesus, we can do what? Nothing. As Christians, we need to understand that nothing we do apart from Jesus will have any significance or lasting impact in our world. If it's all about you, it's not going to last much longer than you do. But if it's about Jesus, it can last for eternity. Amen? Every decision we make as individuals, as a church, we have to make sure we are focused on Christ and what furthers His kingdom. Not what furthers my cause, not what furthers my pocketbook, but what furthers His kingdom. That's not always an easy thing to come to a conclusion about, is what does Jesus want me to do? How do I spend my money here? Do I hire this person? Do I go to this place? It's not always easy. But through it all, if we're not following Jesus, it won't matter much anyway, because it won't work if Jesus isn't in it. As the text tells us, if we're disconnected from Jesus, we're like a branch of a vine that's become disconnected. It is dead. It is useless. It is going to wither away. It's not going to produce anything without Jesus. You know, we can't even get to heaven. Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. How many people come to the Father except through me? No one. Without Jesus, we don't have the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we have no connection to the Father. So how in the world are we going to know the will of God if we don't have Jesus? How can we do anything that honors God if we don't honor Jesus? As John 3:18 tells us, with whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It is amazing to me to hear people that call themselves Christians that say, you don't need Jesus. You ever heard people say that? People go to churches with the name Christian on their church name, and they say, well, you don't really need Jesus. Just be good. Just be a good enough person. You be good in whatever religion you're in. But listen, friends, Jesus said, without me, you don't even get to see the Father. Now, we are not going to compromise on that truth. And I don't believe we've compromised on that truth in 20 years. When it comes to that biblical truth, we don't apologize because it's the truth of God. And the primary truth is this: Jesus Christ is Lord. The church belongs to Him. We know that without Him we are nothing, and that all we do will amount to nothing. Whatever ministry you're involved in, whatever you do out here in life, if Jesus isn't at the core of it, it means nothing, friend. If you're living just for the dollar, if you're living just to build a bigger house, if you're living just to have your own big mansion, friend, it doesn't mean nothing without Jesus. Amen? Amen. But the opposite is proven to be true as well. Our text reminds us that with Jesus, we will bear much fruit. The vine that is connected to the tree is going to bear fruit. It is natural. You know, that it doesn't have to be convinced to do it. Nobody has to force it to produce fruit. It does need nurture from the sun. It needs the nourishment of water. But in that environment, it's going to produce fruit. Now, it won't be automatic. It's not like the moment you throw the seed in the ground, the fruit pops out. That's not the way it works. But it is inevitable that if that seed is planted and that fruit grows, it will produce fruit. All true disciples are going to be fruitful. The gardener understands that because the gardener is God. And if you are in Christ, bearing fruit will be as natural to you as breathing, because you will just live it and the fruit will happen. Now, what does it mean to bear fruit? I want to tell you these quick things real fast. You're going to have Christian character. Christian character is a fruit of Jesus living in us. Living out Christ on a daily basis means that people will see Him in us. As Galatians 5, 22 and 23 tell us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, the way we treat others, as you look in that, if you're loving, if you're treating people and they see peace and joy in your life, if you're being patient with people and kind with people, this is the fruit of the Spirit that is being produced in your life. But also, righteous living is a fruit. When we talk about righteous living, we're not talking about being perfect. Anybody here who's perfect, raise your hand. I don't think my hand shouldn't be up. No one is going to be perfect, just as no church is going to be perfect. We talked about 20 years of wonderful things, but our church isn't perfect. Our leaders aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. But in Christ, we can pursue righteousness, or living the right way under God's will. In 1 Timothy 6:11, Paul encouraged Timothy, "But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness." So rather than chasing the world, trying to please the world, trying to figure out how I can fit into the world, I want to chase God. I want to chase what His will is for my life. You won't be modifying your life to fit in with everybody else. You're going to be modifying your life to fit into the principles that God has set before you. Again, this is true of a church, but it's very true of you as an individual. If you're pursuing a righteous life in Christ, that will be a priority, and fruit is going to be a result of that. You also have fruit of the deeds of kindness. Just being a good person in our community is a way of bearing fruit. In Matthew 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in the same way, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, you know, on the one hand, we don't want to go out and toot our horn. We don't want to go out and do our good deeds so that other people will see us and pat us on the back and say, "Oh, what a good person they are." But when we do go and do good deeds and we quietly go about that service and we give the glory to Jesus, then God is praised. You know, Hebrews 10 reminds us of this in verse 24. "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." You know, some people might stop going to church for whatever reason. That seems to be a national trend as I look around the country today. But the writer tells us that it's not what God intended for us if we're going to live a Christian life. When we meet together, we encourage each other. And it's not just about whether I'm being encouraged, but it's about whether I am there to encourage other people. You see, it's not just a one-sided thing. It's not about me. It's about Christ. It's about the kingdom. We mentioned Backpack Pals earlier. That group of people had an idea of something they could do in the community to help families and glorify God. And as they set the example, the church saw it, and we came alongside. We were drawn to it, and God is glorified because of it. When you are in Christ, you're going to bear much fruit. And sometimes that fruit is sharing our faith with others. That is going to be a natural thing for us to want to do. In fact, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." All of us ought to be ready to bear the fruit of having conversations with people about why we believe what we believe. Now, how many of you have talked to somebody that doesn't agree with what you believe? Raise your hand if you talk to somebody that doesn't agree. Now, what I'm going to suggest to you is next time you have that conversation, you slap them in the face and you tell them you're dumb, you don't know what you're... Is that the way we're supposed to act? No. No. What does he say? He says, with gentleness and respect. So just because somebody doesn't agree with us doesn't give us the right to treat them like they're not respectful. We need to treat everyone with gentleness and respect. Have those conversations, and you never know where that conversation will lead. Paul encourages us to act like Christ ambassadors in 2 Corinthians 5:20. "We are therefore Christ ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Get this. God is using you as you speak the name of Christ as an ambassador. You represent him. And so as you speak and as you share, you are producing fruit. And then you praise. Praise being offered to God is the final fruit I want to say to you. When we use our lips, our tongues, our language, our ability to communicate and speak, to praise Jesus, that is a fruit. In Hebrews 13, 15, read this. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of what? Lips that openly profess his name." And so this is something that we are called to do. This is how we produce much fruit. We talk about Jesus. We praise his name. In 2 Corinthians 9:13, Paul said, "Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else." What is he telling us? He's telling us when we do good things, when we speak the name of Christ, when we go out and help others, when we praise God, that will bring other people to praise God. That is producing fruit. And finally, in 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the what? And the what? For how long? Amen. Whatever we do, it's to His glory. Because it's only through Christ that we can do it anyway. As you look at that picture and you think about Jesus, He's the reason we're here. He's the reason we started 20 years ago, and He's the reason that this church will hopefully be here in another 20 years. Now, I'm going to say this. I won't be here in 20 years. I probably won't even be alive in 20 years. I don't know. But listen, it is my hope and the hope of our leaders that the legacy being passed down to the next generation will be one that honors Jesus above all. Remember, to God be the glory, great things He has done. I got a couple of people that are going to come out and at the end of this message right now. Michael and Katie. Michael and Katie, wonderful people. I love them dearly. They're going to lead us in a song. This is the conclusion of the message. And as they do this, I just want you to think about how important these words are. They're very true. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done.